This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The U.S. and UBS.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us for the morning open, a look at the broader economy as we start the business day about 20 minutes in. And we have some news just in about those negotiations between the U.S. government and Swiss bank UBS. We're hearing the two sides have initialed agreements to settle their tax evasion dispute. Reporter Tamara Keith joins us live right now with the latest, a quick update. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Steve.
So what do we know so far about the settlement?
Not a lot. A Justice Department attorney told the judge overseeing the case this morning that they have initialed this agreement with UBS. Once it's final, once all the documents are signed, all the charges against UBS will be dropped. The U.S. government wants the names of about 52,000 American clients thought to be hiding nearly $15 billion in secret accounts at UBS. Of course, it's not just as simple as handing over a list because of Switzerland's bank secrecy laws. And this case has big implications, not just for Switzerland, but for the entire offshore banking industry.
All right, Tamara, we thank you. Reporter Tamara Keith joining us from our bureau in Washington right now. Tamara, thanks. Let's check. Where's Wall Street? S&P shares and the Dow, as a matter of fact, both up about 0.5%. The Nasdaq up about 0.9%. European shares slightly higher right now. London, Frankfurt, and Paris all up by under 1%. Asian markets fell today. The Shanghai index lost about 4.5%. Government reported this morning the U.S. trade deficit edged up in June. Imports rose for the first time in nearly a year. Doug Foreman is director of equities at Highmark Capital. He's joining us live from San Francisco this morning. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So it seems like this could be a good sign for American producers, but how much good news is in that number, do you think?
Well, you know, it's sort of a good news, bad news thing. The good news is the trade deficit is running about half of what it was last year. So that means that Americans have to borrow less money from people abroad to finance their purchases.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad news is that, you know, it's mainly due to consumer products, which are running about the lowest since November of 2005. So consumers aren't buying as much for obvious reasons, don't have as much money to do it.
So looking at both sides of it, the Fed wraps up its latest two-day meeting today, Doug, and no change expected on that key interest rate. But we're going to get an update on the health of the economy, as they always do. And with that in mind, if we hear something to the effect, you know, it's getting better or less bad, you know, how is that different from last time?
Well, last time they talked about, you know, the pace of contraction is slowing, which means, you know, the rate of decline is slowing down. The elevator's still heading south, but it's just a slower rate. And I think what we're likely to hear today is that the elevator has actually stopped going down, so that we're actually seeing the early signs of stability in the overall economy. So it's a slight difference.
And real quick, Doug, the Wall Street Journal has this survey of economists out this morning. It shows most think that the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, should be reappointed. What think you?
You know, I think he's done a good job. I think he's really admired among his peers in terms of economists, and I think that investors think he was a little bit late to some of the problems that we've had, but clearly since they became more apparent, he's done a great job of trying to do what he can do to stabilize this economy.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up there. Doug Foreman, thanks so much.
Good morning.
We appreciate
thanks, Steve.
Take care. All right. Some terrific crop yields are expected for U.S. farmers. The Agriculture Department estimates this morning it'll be the best ever soy crop and the second best for corn. That'll likely deflate an ethanol-fueled price boom. It's the government's first forecast of the fall harvest. The world's largest food and drink company reported a more than 2% drop in profits this morning for the first half of the year. It's the first decline for Nestle in 6 years. From London, Christopher Worth reports.
One area where the company was hardest hit is bottled water. That's where Nestle gets about 10% of its sales. Apparently, people drink less Perrier in a recession. Sales were worst hit in Europe, but stronger in the Americas and Asia. But Andreas von Arx, a food industry analyst at Helvea in Zurich, says sales were still growing in other areas of the company.
I wouldn't see it, you know, that negative. I mean, what you have is you have certain categories not doing as good, of course, as they did in the past. The relatively weaker categories at the moment are water and nutrition businesses.
Nestle's nutrition brands include Jenny Craig and Gerber Baby Foods. How soon those names perform better remains to be seen. But Nestle is also struggling with the strength of the Swiss franc to other currencies, while American companies like Kraft and Hershey are profiting from the weakness of the U.S. dollar. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
The city of Cleveland is the latest to try and organize itself as a center for green jobs. The mayor there is starting a three-day sustainability summit today, bringing in everyone from blue-collar workers to Fortune 500 CEOs. From station WCPN, Dan Bobkoff reports.
Organizers are calling this Sustainable Cleveland 2019, but don't you dare call it a conference. Apparently, conferences are synonymous with inaction. This, they say, is a summit that will produce a real plan to create both jobs and clean energy. David Cooper, Ryder of Case Western Reserve University, is one of the organizers.
The question isn't whether cities will do this. The question is which ones are doing it first and who will do it best.
Other Rust Belt cities like Toledo and Pittsburgh are racing to convert into green business centers. In Cleveland, there's already the infrastructure to make things like bolts for wind turbines, but some say Northeast Ohio could use more planning and innovation. Tom Bullock works in Ohio for the Pew Environmental Group.
We need our companies to tech up, our workers to skill up. We need to become experts in taking research to prototype to blueprint, and then first on factory line and out into the marketplace.
President Obama has been touting alternative energy as an economic engine. The president is sending Van Jones, his green jobs advisor, to kick off this week's summit. In Cleveland, I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Finally, starting today, you too can connect with an alien. A website, hellofromearth.net, is taking up to 160 character messages to transmit to a planet outside the solar system that could support life. All right, so the message will take 20 years to get there. But if you text something like, "Hey, I'm stuck in traffic on the 405 in L.A., or there's this show on Earth called The Simpsons," well, you'll probably be safe. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.